Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DS Smith Interim Management Statement conference call. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Miles Roberts, to begin. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for your time to dial in this morning. I'm here with Adrian Marsh, our Finance Director. Before turning to questions, I'd just like to make a few comments by way of background. You will all have received our statement this morning and will see that we continue to make good progress in growing our volumes despite the continued competitive market conditions, and we're trading fully in line with our expectations. Encouragingly, it is further evidence that our unique offering is winning with our customers across Europe. There is ever-increasing recognition by our customers of the potential and importance of recycled packaging to reduce their in-house production and distribution costs, in addition to supporting their proposition at the point of sale where the final consumer is increasingly making their buying decisions. And our offer is further supported by our large customers seeking to consolidate their supply chains to enable them to implement best practice consistently across their operations. So this has led to our like-for-like corrugated box volumes improving in all our regions, with growth accelerating ahead of last year's rate and our medium-term target of GDP plus 1%. Our return on sales and the return on average capital employed also continue to increase, benefiting from this organic growth together with the synergies from the SCA packaging deal. So because of this, our outlook remains positive. Our volumes continue to grow, and the board expects continued performance in line with our medium-term financial targets. But very importantly, we view the remainder of the year with confidence. So I'm now very happy to take any questions people may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to go to your question, please press star 1 again, and you will be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from the line of Al Dixon from Davy. Please, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. It's Barry Dixon from Davy. Three questions, if I could. The first one, Miles, just in terms of corrugated pricing, what are you seeing there, particularly, I suppose, given the volatility we've seen over the last 6 months and on recycled containerboard pricing, just what's happening with corrugated pricing? You mentioned about headwinds in markets. You might just give us a sort of your own sense of which markets are performing well and which ones are proving more difficult in terms of that sort of that backdrop. And then finally, you've had some management changes recently in terms of your packaging division. Maybe you just talk us through the changes that you've made there and what you hope to achieve. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Certainly. Okay. So let's just take those in order. Raw material costs. The price of kraft and testliner has been falling until we got to August, and then we saw a stabilisation in pricing and an increase in the price of testliner in towards the end of August. We're not totally surprised, because I have to say, in our corrugated business, we are busy. Certainly our demand is up. We have seen an increase. I mean, it depends exactly which region, but people, around about €30 a ton, something like that. And we remain busy. So in terms of testliner, as I say, we never know where it's going to go, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was another increase coming through. But it's notoriously unpredictable. But we have seen those increases. so obviously what do we do about them? Or we remain very confident that we will be able to pass these through to our customers with a combination of mitigation. The work we're doing with our customers in reducing their total cost is really gaining traction. It's not so much about the box, it's about their whole production lines, it's about distribution through to the retailer and within the retailer, so we're able to mitigate the increased costs in many cases. But obviously in some cases there are price increases going through as well, and we remain very confident that we can recover all of that. But it does seem that some prices are going up. In terms of the end markets, we measure ourselves against GDP. We've actually seen our weighted average for GDP increase in the last quarter over the over last year, and this is really led by the UK, and our GDP is around about the 3% mark. Growth in the UK, yeah. When we look elsewhere in Europe, it's obviously far less rosy. So the average we're getting is about 1.3%. We're seeing France and Italy flat to slight decline. Germany pretty flat. Eastern Europe a slight increase. Spain pretty flat. So I think this is certainly worse than the ECB and other commentators were forecasting, but I'm afraid it's absolutely in line with where we expected it to be. We have never expected there to be a rebound. The final consumer remains extremely price sensitive, but this is where our offer comes into play, and working with our customers to improve their sales and reduce their in-house production costs right the way through the supply cycle. And I think this is why we're seeing our volumes accelerate. And I said, all our regions are in growth, despite in a number of those economies, final consumer demand actually being in decline. So we're pleased with that. It's always very uncertain how things go in the future. But there's no doubt we're pleased with the reception that we're getting. So there's end marks change. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what you mean about the management changes. We make many changes all the time in our business to fit our offer to the proposition, and people join the company and leave the company at any time. So there's nothing that's happened with us that I feel particularly concerned. We have brought two divisions together, and that has changed in a particular management structure, but the underlying country basis, etc., and the way we report is unaffected by that change. I mean, to be quite straight with you, I think over the next year, I wouldn't be surprised if we. We brought in some more people and different skills, and that does necessitate a slightly different management structure. This understanding of our customers and how they're working and how we support them is becoming increasingly important, and therefore new skills are needed all the time.
Okay, thanks very much, Miles. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Alexander Nies from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Miles. Good morning, Adrian. Two questions, please. Firstly, could you comment on the performance of plastics? You've made the point that corrugated box volumes have been positive. I wonder if you can just talk about that business, particularly in light of the operational restructuring. And secondly, could you please give us some colour on where your acquisition pipeline is at? Thank you.
Look, why don't I take the first one, and Adrian, about the acquisitions. In plastics, you say this has been a very strong growth area for us. We make very good margins, and we have announced the creation of a number of new facilities. We are extremely excited about those, as are our customers. and all of that restructuring remains on track, and the construction of those facilities is all on plan, and very nice they look too. We're also creating a new display business, a new factory there in Germany, and the workers have started on that. This is an area of the market. This is all around the point of sale and how our customers display their products. And being quite honest, I mean, we're keeping up with the demand, but I can tell you it's not easy, such as the reception that we're getting to our offering and our skills to our customers at the point of sale, displaying in retail. We need these facilities to come on stream as quickly as possible to really take advantage of those opportunities. So I think that's where we are. The new factories and the restructuring with that, all as expected. Adrian, you want to talk about M&A?
Yeah, on M&A, Alex. I mean, there's at any point in time a whole number of conversations going on. I mean, Europe is very fragmented, as you know. There are a lot of private companies in there, and these dialogues go on. I mean, I can think, I've been in the company a year now, and certainly conversations that we had 12 months ago where we weren't prepared to meet value expectations, we're having the dialogues again now. So, I mean, it is an iterative process, and I think the important thing here is we are extremely focused on what we will pay in our financial criteria, and it's as simple as that. And if there's a prospect that meets those criteria and it fits within the business and where we're looking to grow, then we're very interested in the dialogue. If it's outside of that, then we're very honest too in that respect. We also, you know, clearly, you know, the advantage of having a fragmented in Europe is market in Europe at the moment, as well as it gives us a lot of opportunity for organic growth too. So we, you know, personally, I'm not hung up on, you know, where the next acquisition target's coming from. There are a lot of dialogues. There are some that have restarted again that have been closed down, and others that I'm sure we will be closing down at some point. But it's not something we're prepared to rush. We don't have an ambition to buy at any cost and to grow inorganically at any cost. I think there is enough opportunity within the underlying business and no shortage, I can tell you, across my desk of areas where the business wants to invest more capital. And you know, we're just applying a very strict criteria to it all at the moment.
And you make the comment that you're revisiting some acquisition targets that perhaps you spoke to in the past. Does that imply that in general vendor price expectations are starting to become more reasonable?
I think it's impossible to say. If you were to ask me, my instinct is yes, because I think simply you've seen situations across Europe. I mean, at the moment, realistically, if you're not able to support certainly the big multinational FMCG customers on a pan-European basis, it's becoming an increasingly difficult market to operate in. I think, and there's a very limited number of companies at the moment that are able to make that offer. So I think there is a change within the industry. Certainly, the way we operate is very different from the way we would have operated 3 or 4 years ago. So I suspect that will have a gradual resonation, but it will resonate over time. We've seen a situation, particularly in one of the countries we operate in, but we've seen a company now go, it's becoming insolvent. I think it's difficult. It's a difficult market in Europe, and if you're not able to operate on the pan-European basis, it's increasingly difficult. I mean, that there's no doubt about.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Catriona O'Grady from UBS. Please go ahead.
Morning, Miles. Morning, Adrian. I've just got three questions, if I may, and some of them kind of build on Barry and Alex's questions. Firstly, you flagged the completion of the Scandinavian foam business disposal. When you look across your products and your plant portfolio, and this is notwithstanding the kind of paper potential disposals, do you have any more opportunities where you could dispose of kind of non-core products? Second question is around M&A. So I see that you completed the acquisition of a small plastics plant in Croatia. Can you just give us a bit of background to why you did that alongside the organic investment? And is plastics kind of an area where you could do larger acquisitions, or is the focus more going to be on organic investment? And finally, if we look at kind of end industry trends, can you give us some color around how volumes have trended in your industrial customers as well as your FMCG customers? Thanks.
Okay, so if we split the questions up, if I take the volumes, our outlook on plastics in terms of organics and acquisition and what's possible there. And if you want to pick up on the non-core stuff, where we are there, and there is a bit more coming. So just in terms of the volumes, what's really happening here is we're trying to expand the perimeter of the corrugated market. So our offering to our customers is showing how corrugated can increase their sales. And we've got some simply outstanding examples with our biggest customers using our packaging and not using it, trialing it in different stores, inconvenient stores and then not inconvenient stores, in the hypers and not in the hypers, in the supers, not in the supers. So you can start to really show how this is affecting their sales. There's also the question of their whole supply chain. Taking cost out at every opportunity, whether it's their line runs fees, distribution costs, etc. So we're finding generally of all of our large customers who are under intense pressure in Europe from the retailer and from the consumer to enhance their offering, we're finding what we're able to do, we're just getting much more traction and voice in their operations. I mean, it's one of the very, very largest companies. I'm actually with their group CEO tomorrow, believe it or not, and talking about how we can enhance their sales. I mean, I think it's just that sort of reception that has been possible when they look at their businesses. So when we look across Europe, I think Adrian said, in terms of volumes, we see all the regions in growth. It's particularly strong in regions that historically we have been strong. If we go out into Eastern Europe and the areas of the old sort of SCA business, where we continue to roll our proposition out. But equally, we've seen a pickup in the UK. We've seen supermarkets put more shelf-ready packaging in stores. And this is just all extending the perimeter of our offering. So we remain very very pleased with that. With plastics, plastics is a very interesting business. And what we're trying to do there is grow that bag in box concept. Because of its environmental credentials, it goes in a cardboard box, the bag goes in a box, it's allowed to allow the transportation of liquids, it's in a cube, therefore the transportation costs are lower. There are some various acquisition opportunities there, but we're very disciplined on price. We're a quoted group. We're here to make the return on capital. That is why we're here. That is our purpose. The way we do it is by enhancing our proposition to our customers, etc. But that's the reason we're there. We remain very disciplined. If we can't buy those businesses at sensible prices, then we have organic opportunities. We have a significant expansion in our plastics business organically. A small business has come to us, which is good. Personally, I think that remains a very fragmented market. We are talking to a number of people there. we very much hope that they will we can conclude some of those discussions at sensible prices, but we do have a number of opportunities. Some of you remember we built a factory in Thailand. That factory is virtually full now, and with our customers, and we've got another decision to make out in the Far East and how we grow that. So it is a good area for us. There are acquisition opportunities, but they're also organic as well, and we'll make the right decision that's best for our shareholders. Non-core business?
On the non-core side, we have a, might have described it briefly at the results presentation. So we have a process where we go through as a board and we look at the strategic plan for the group. Currently going through that process, or we just started that process again now. Last year, that identified the phones business as not sitting logically within us as a core business, and we executed a plan to dispose of that. As it stands at the moment, there's nothing, because part of which is because we haven't concluded the process, but there's nothing at the moment that obviously, to my mind, without having been through it, sits as non-core. That said, there will of course be a number of areas that if having gone through the process, we can't see them adding value to the portfolio any further, or having a value potentially higher somewhere else where we can liberate cash, we will look at that, and that process will go through. And occasionally we'll get an inbound inquiry over a specific asset or combination of assets. And again, you know, we will always look at that. And if the value proposal being offered is meets the criteria, then of course we follow that seriously. But it is part of the corporate plan process, which we take the board through, and that we've literally only just started that again for the next 3 years now. But in terms of the recent plans, they've been broadly executed.
That's great, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the name of Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, Miles, you talked earlier about 30 years a ton being achieved on Tesla and further potentially to come. Can you comment specifically on Crossliner? Because according to RISI, 30 years a ton has been implemented by the producers from September onwards. I'm just thinking about the impact on your business as one of the largest market purchasers of Crossliner in Europe. Just specifically, have you seen any impact from September onwards on new orders? And you're feeling on the Crossliner price as well as the Tesla price going forward.
Right, well, you're absolutely right on Tesla. We've seen about 30, and let's see what happens in next month, but it may well go up. We haven't on Craft, as you know, we are probably Europe's largest purchaser of it. I think almost certainly on the open market, and we have a program of systematically replacing Craft with Tesliner, which our customers are increasingly willing to embrace. It's actually very strong, the conversion. I think there has been chatter about increases. We haven't paid any increases, and we will be heavily resisting any. So we haven't had any. We're not accepting any, but it is notoriously volatile. We'll just have to see. But that's where we are at the moment. But in terms of September stuff, we certainly haven't paid anything in anything to date.
Okay, thank you. Just one follow-up question, and I guess for Adrian, really on technical guidance. You mentioned in the statement about your contribution schedule for the pension fund is unchanged, and I'm assuming that's the 15 million per annum cash contribution you're referring to.
Yeah.
Are there any other changes to the technical guidance from what you gave us back in the 26th of June?
No. That is as is. You've obviously got the detailed currency breakdown, so you can look at the translation impacts. I mean, clearly we refer to the euro, but Rachel and Hugo provided a much more detailed currency by currency. I obviously encourage you to look at that. I think that's as good a ready reckoner as we can think of. But no, nothing else has changed.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Hey, folks, just a couple of questions for me, and apologize if you've touched on them already. But firstly, just, you know, against the backdrop of, I suppose, the economy is not improving a whole lot since May, and DS Smith's volumes now up nearly 2.5-3%. Like, how should we think of the drivers behind this split between, I suppose, firstly service levels, but also corrugated pricing? Are you being a little bit more competitive on that front? Just on this, I suppose you're talking about reducing your kraftliner consumption. Maybe you could give us an idea of what total tonnage of kraftliner you purchased in 2014 versus maybe 3 years ago, to give us an idea of what that switch has been like.
Well, look, just on the craft, we used to buy about the combined business about 800,000 tonnes a year on the open market. Last year, we reduced that by over 100,000 tonnes, about 100 and depends exactly what time period you're looking at, but more like 120 over the last 12 months, and we see very good opportunities to reduce that even further.
Is there a floor, you think, on how low you can get that tonnage? Is there a...
There is a floor. We think we can go to, and it's significantly less than we are than we're using today. So we see opportunities to take quite a considerable amount of craft out. Again, I have to say the momentum's actually, a lot of it's not just with us in the design of the package, it's actually from our customers as well. We have a number of our customers saying, you know, we just don't want craft paper, we want recycled paper. Just as a very small anecdote, I had some product delivered to my house at the weekend from Amazon and John Lewis online, and over both boxes, stamped all over them, it says this is all made from recycled paper. Not just sort of underneath, on the back, under a flap, but right on the front. You know, this is the consumer proposition, and we're seeing that gain some traction. So we think there's certainly in our business a considerable way to go.
Sorry, just to follow up on that one, if I could. What are the general ramifications of the industry as a whole, then, if we're going to see reduced kraftliner in the overall industry, and how does that play in, then, to the quality of recycled fibre in Europe as a whole, if we're going to see less virgin fibre?
I mean, look, we're one company. I think we're able to replace our craft with all our design expertise. Whether other companies can or not, I've absolutely no idea. But that's something that we work really hard on, and I think we've got some outstanding design capabilities in this area. So, look, you know, we are 14%, so there's another 86% of the market that may or may not be using more or less craft. I think, secondly, in terms of, we often get this question about what does it mean for test liner, etc. What we're finding is that we can lightweight test liner. So again, we're taking more fibre out there as well. So the actual amount of fibre consumption, we've got less craft coming, but actually we are significantly lightweighting our boxes. But also the fibre comes from many sources. One source is OCC, but there are many other sources. And as you know, we have the leading recycling business in Europe, and there we access fibre from many, many sources, not just OCC, and it's up to us to ensure we're increasing the recovery rates, not just of OCC, but of all those grades, to keep the integrity of testliner going. You know, time will tell. You know, time will tell. It's as to how things move, but that's certainly how we see the immediate outlook.
And then just on the drivers behind your corrugated volume increases, split between maybe more competitive pricing and increased service levels?
Yeah. I mean, our margins are going up. as we said, in our return on capital. I think we are working with our customers. A lot of the propositions are increasingly turning to the total supply cycle cost. So how can we ensure that their line run speeds are working better? It's not in every case, but this is becoming more important to our customers all the time. So as long as we can demonstrate cost reduction or sales increases to their business, then you know we're able to include that in the value of our overall proposition. Costs are going up in paper. They do have to be recovered. We feel confident we can do that, but there will obviously be you know some impact on pricing. But we feel pretty confident about that. So at the moment we've got volumes going up, but our return on sales is going up, and our return on capital is because of the enhanced offering. And this is an area we need to do more and more and more on. Our customers are more open to this than they've been, I think, for years. Because of the pressure the consumer is putting on them. You know, we're working with another very large FMCG, and we've managed to increase their sales through a better presentation of their products. And we've been trialling this for a number of months, and you know, they said to us, "You've increased our sales by more in the last few months in that trial than we have in the previous 5 years." And that just shows where the consumer is. But this is the value of our proposition.
I think
it's the point of sale and what we can do there.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit misleading to think of being if you're working to reduce the fibre content and you're lightweighting, you're looking to mitigate the price rise, to think that means you've been competitive on price. I think what it means is you've been very innovative in terms of solution. So, I mean, our cost base is still going to be our cost base. Our margins are still going to be our margins. And as Mark said, we can improve those. It's not because we've been overly competitive on what we're charging for that. I think what it says is that we're working much harder in order to reduce the costs that go into the final goods, and that gets recognised. So I think it's a little bit, you need to be a little bit careful about drawing a conclusion that if you're increasing volume, you must be competitive on price, i.e. Overly competitive on price.
I mean, if you're a small guy in Europe, if you're a small regional player in Europe in corrugated, it's tough, and I think it's going to get tougher if you're a small regional player. Without the design of the economies of scale, it's tough. And I can't see that getting any better.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Okay.
And we currently have no more questions coming through.
Well, look, just the last comment from us. Thank you, everybody, for your time. In summary, we know the end consumer is difficult. The end markets are challenging. But we feel our proposition is working. In working with our customers to enhance their sales and reduce costs. And on the back of that, everything's in line with our expectations, and we look forward to the rest of the year. But thank you very much, everybody, for your time.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining this call. You may now disconnect your lines.